Folks, we're continuing in our series on deep connections this morning, and we're turning to 1 Corinthians. We've been using Paul's first letter to the Corinthians as our textbook, if you like, for the series of sermons and preaching that we've had over the Sunday mornings. So we're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, the last chapter in 1 Corinthians, reading from verse 13 of chapter 16. And Paul writes this to the church. He says, "Be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. Do everything in love. You know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and they have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to submit to such people and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. I was glad when Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus arrived, because they have supplied what was lacking from you, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. Such men deserve recognition. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord. And so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers and sisters here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss." Well, as I said, we're continuing this morning in our Deeply Connected Lives series, and we remind ourselves of our first priority of our Orangefield vision, and it is this: deep connections. Growing as God's family, marked by hospitality, authenticity, and deeply committed relationships. And over the past few weeks, we've looked at various relationships and aspects thereof. Some very interesting and challenging and real stuff. We've looked at marriage and at singleness, at parenting and at divorce. And I smiled just the other couple of weeks ago as Deborah Ford prepared to speak on singleness a couple of weeks ago. She said to me, "Gary, the lengths you will go to avoid having to speak on this subject." And needless to say, I was busy. I was all ears and busy scribbling copious notes as Noah was delivering the marriage talk. But this morning, as we continue in our relationship series, we're looking at the subject of friends. Friends. And I wonder what springs to mind when you hear the word friends. Is it the TV sitcom, and perhaps showing my age a little bit here, but is it the TV sitcom that hit our screens in 1994? Yep, remember the 90s? It continued for 10 years, and there were some 236 episodes chronicling the lives of six fairly dysfunctional, but nevertheless reasonably humorous young friends living in downtown Manhattan. This was a very popular series, with the final episode being watched by some 52 million American viewers alone. The last episode was shown on 6th of May 2004, so that tomorrow, that'll be 20 years ago, the last episode of Friends. Can you believe it? 20 years, the last episode. Or perhaps when you hear the word friends, you think of your latest Facebook additions. Some people have made it their aim to have as many Facebook friends as possible. One friend of mine has 2,500 friends on Facebook. 2,500. And you know, Facebook certainly defines the word friend extremely loosely, to say the least, doesn't it? A friend on Facebook can be someone you haven't even spoken to before, that you haven't even met before. But the Bible, on the other hand, defines a friend as someone that we walk with, someone that we walk closely and intimately with as we journey through life together. Perhaps more like these group of friends walking together on the Belfast Marathon. Maybe this is the sort of picture that springs to mind when you think of friends. It's one of the things that friends do together, walk together, isn't it? Maybe walking the marathon, or walking, perhaps we see friends walking together just along the street or over in the park or along the greenway. We see groups of friends walking and chatting and sharing life together. It's a good thing to do. And the Bible's definition of a friend is a companion that we will walk with, that we will share life with, that we will share all of the ups and downs as we journey together in close partnership, in intimacy, and in trust. It's what we see Paul talking about here in the first letter to the Corinthians when he talks in verse 17, for instance, about people such as Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, and or in verse 19 about Aquila and Priscilla, or in verse 20 when he talks about all the brothers and sisters. These are Paul's friends. These are Paul's walking partners as he journeys through life. Now, we've already spent a fair bit of time in this chapter of 1 Corinthians, and so I thought that we might also take a dip into another book that perhaps we don't go to very often. It's a book that we can go to that has a fair bit to say on the subject of friends and of friendship. It's the book of Proverbs. And you know, as we're walking along the journey of life, we'll want to be a good friend, and we'll want to have good friends. I don't know if you've ever ran or walked the marathon, or perhaps ran or walked up the Mourns, or a sponsored walk, or anything like that. But having good friends, good walking partners, good running partners with us can make all the difference between enjoying the journey. Even actually can make all the difference between us finishing the journey. And it's important that we have good friends as we journey on the marathon of life. And the book of Proverbs, one commentator talks about it as a wonderful book of heavenly wisdom for earthly living. It's a book of heavenly wisdom for earthly living. And it has much to say on the subject of friends. Proverbs 17:17, it says, a friend loves at all times. Or Proverbs 18:24, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Or Proverbs 27:9, beautiful poetic language here. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of a friend springs from their heartfelt advice. Proverbs 27:10, do not forsake your friend or a friend of your family. We see the importance of friends and friendships underlined in the book of Proverbs. It tells us that if we want to be wise and we want to avoid suffering needless harm, then we need to choose our friends wisely as well. And we see in Proverbs, the writer, he doesn't mince his words. He shoots straight from the hip, as it were. And he tells us basically that there are two kinds of people in the world. There are the wise. There are those people who seek God and his ways. And there are what he calls the foolish. Those people who reject God and his ways. And Proverbs 13 and verse 20, the writer of Proverbs counsels us to, he says, walk with the wise. Walk with the wise and become wise. For a companion of fools suffers harm. You see, if we are wise and take God's guidance, then we will take great care in choosing companions that we will walk with through the journey of life. And there are some types of people that the Lord warns us about walking with as close, intimate friends. And I know that around Orangefield there are some great friendships and groups of friends, and that's wonderful. It's lovely to see. And it's really good and positive and encouraging. But the writer of the Proverbs, he encourages us to have good friends and have wise friends. But then he also says, there's other people that we need to avoid. There's other people that we need to not allow us to come under their influence. And please don't get me wrong on this, and don't misunderstand what God is saying from his word here this morning. We are all called and commissioned by God to reach out and to help and to show love to all kinds of people. To all people as we're able. And we regularly preach on the necessity of doing that, the importance of that. We are to share God's love with all because, well, God so loved the world. All people. And he has first shared his love with us, unworthy and undeserving sinners as we are. And so we are to cultivate a culture of compassion and to reach out and open our eyes, open our hearts, open our purses and our wallets, open our arms to love and help all types of people. But as we do so, the Bible warns us to be careful not to come under the influence of ungodly people who would drag us down. You see, God warns us not to follow foolish people who would lead us away from him and into harm. That's what we're talking about here this morning. And you might think, well, or say to me, well, Gary, I've got some great long-established friendships and that's that. But you know, friends come and go. My father always said to me, try to avoid making enemies and make friends, because he said, friends come and go, but enemies accumulate. And it's a true little equation, isn't it? But you know, friends do come and go. And even if we have some long-established friendships, maybe it's time to take a little friends check. Who are the people who are influencing us? Who are the people who are shaping our thinking and shaping our hearts and shaping our minds and shaping our lives? Are those people that we are spending time with leading us closer to God or away from God? And as we go through life, as with the walkers on the marathon, we need to have a walking team of friends, of godly people that we can trust with our lives, companions who will help us along the way, people who will pull us upwards and lead us in a Godward direction. And conversely, then, the Bible tells us that we'll want to avoid having as close friends people with certain characteristics that the Lord doesn't like. Certain characteristics that he doesn't want us to have and that he doesn't want us to be influenced by. So what are the things that the Lord dislikes? Well, Proverbs 6 and verses 16 to 19. It uses some fairly strong language here. It tells us that there are six things that the Lord hates. And that word hates, we weren't even allowed to use in our house growing up. It's strong language. But it says there's six things that God hates. Seven that are detestable to him. Things and people that we want to avoid coming under the influence of. Firstly, a person with haughty eyes. Haughty eyes, what does that mean? Well, King James Version puts it, a proud look. It means a person who is proud or arrogant. A person who has an attitude of superiority. Someone who looks at others and says with their eyes, I'm the main man or woman, but you're a nobody. I'm important, but you're insignificant. Or even ironically, I'm spiritual and you're not. You see, such arrogance is frequently denounced by God in his word. In Proverbs 16, verse 18, God warns us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Do we want to have walking companions who are walking towards destruction, who are heading for a fall and taking us with them? No, we don't. We don't. The Bible tells us that we need to steer clear of arrogant people and don't let them influence us. The second person to avoid as a close friend is a man or a woman with a lying tongue. We see, we cannot walk closely with someone who habitually tells lies without getting hurt. Sooner or later, dishonest friends will hurt us by deceiving us, and we'll pay the price. And yes, we've all probably known people whom we have rather graciously described as strangers to the truth. But there's just nothing more frustrating, is there, than someone who just wouldn't know the truth if it jumped up and bit them. People in this category are frustrating and dangerous. And if we walk with people who treat the truth lightly, we run the risk of being influenced by them and doing the same ourselves. The next kind of person that we won't want as a walking companion is described here in verse 17 of the book of Proverbs in chapter 6. Hands that shed innocent blood. And now you're probably thinking, okay, Gary, you can skip on here because I don't generally hang around with serial killers. There's no problem, move on. But the principle implied here in this verse covers more than just the actual physical shedding of blood. You see, this verse is also talking about people who destroy others in any way. And we know that people can be destroyed in a number of different ways. It can be through character assassination, or trying to ruin someone's good reputation, or through libelous or false claims against someone. It can be anything that destroys an innocent human being physically, emotionally, or spiritually. So we are well advised to steer clear of people who devalue others or who take advantage of them. We can be sure that if we walk with such people, we too one day will fall foul to their aggression, their misuse of power, or even worse, their way of thinking, speaking, and acting will rub off on us. In verse 18 here, we're advised too to keep clear of anyone who has a heart that devises wicked schemes and feet that are quick to rush to evil. You see, we're to be aware of allowing into our inner circle anybody who can design and implement dishonest, illegal, or evil plans. We won't want as our walking companion someone who will try to justify the running of an illegal, corrupt, or immoral business. These people who devise wicked schemes and have feet that are quick to rush into evil will try to take us there with them, and into evil is a place where we do not want to go. The next person that we won't want to have an influence over our lives is verse 19, a false witness who pours out lies. Now this might look like us to the person with the lying tongue from verse 17, but this verse can be translated in another way as a person with a slandering tongue or a gossip. A slandering tongue is one who can't resist a good gossip about somebody else. A slandering tongue is one who can't keep sensitive information to themselves. Rather than putting a stop to gossip, the slanderer joins in and pours fuel on the fire. And rather than keeping potentially damaging information to themselves, the slanderer spreads it around, and oh, how much harm is caused by the loose tongue. You see, we all need friends, folks, with whom we can share our hopes and our dreams. We need friends with whom we can share our fears and our concerns. We need friends with whom we can bare our souls, but we won't want to do that with a person who has a slanderous tongue or who is a gossip. And the last kind of person that we don't want to come under the influence of is verse 19, a person who stirs up conflict in the community. You see, we know what these people look like probably, don't we? We've bumped into them. They're the ones who just stir it up, who just can't resist an argument. They're the people who start rows and nurse grudges and won't forgive. They perhaps make little molehills in the mountains. And we won't want such a person in our inner circle dragging us into his or her petty little arguments, stirring up division amongst friends. You see, the Bible does not stand for the spreading of dissent and division amongst brothers and sisters in the Lord. Because to spread division is to deny the gospel. And it is to deny the reconciliation and the unity that God gives to his people as we trust in him. Wherever we see a problem arise in a relationship, we will want to seek to listen to the Spirit who leads us towards solving the division and bringing forgiveness and healing, reconciliation and blessing. But the person who stirs up dissension is grieving the Holy Spirit. They're ignoring the Word of God and they're hurting themselves and others, and we won't want such a person as a close walking partner. Walking companions must know that each are committed to the God-given ministry of reconciliation and to walking in the unity of the Spirit. So in summing up these words of wisdom and guidance from this passage in the book of Proverbs, we see that we are to avoid inviting or coming under the influence of haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, or a person who stirs up conflict in the community. So just very briefly then, what sort of friend are we to be? And what sort of friends are we to have? What sort of people will we want to have on our walking team as we walk the marathon of life together? Well, the verses from 1 Corinthians 16 and from the book of Proverbs in chapter 6, they tell us clearly that our loving Heavenly Father, our greatest friend, he wants us to walk with the wise and become wise. He wants us to walk with people who worship him and who seek to serve him and live his way. Those people have the opposite characteristics to those that we've just looked at. Walk with the wise and become wise. The wise are not haughty and proud, but humble and self-sacrificing. They are people who delight in serving and encouraging others. They are people who are intimate with Jesus and his people, seeking to serve him and his church on the journey. And instead of a person with a lying tongue, we are to look for honest people who tell the truth. We choose such friends and we allow them by their example to draw us up to a higher level of honesty, people whose companionship call us to speak the truth in love. And instead of people who are hard and oppressive and misuse their power or position to bully the weak and vulnerable, we choose friends who are merciful and compassionate, for we are called to be a people who are merciful and compassionate. And instead of being influenced by those who would destroy life, we will want as our walking partners those who are giving life, saving life, making life better. Giving life, saving life, making life better for others. We will want to spur one another on to acts of life-bringing love and mercy as together we follow Jesus in bringing life to Belfast and the nations. And instead of people who design and carry out plans that are illegal, immoral, or corrupt, we will want friends who are exercising integrity and goodness. Friends who pull us up to higher levels of character, not down to lower. And instead of a loose-tongued person who will break our confidences and gossip about us behind our backs, we need friends with whom we can bear our souls and who will be trustworthy. And you know, I heard a definition of a friend recently, and it said this: a friend is someone who says nice things about you behind your back. That's a nice little definition of a friend, isn't it? We'll want to be friends like that and have friends like that. People who say nice things about us behind our backs. And instead of a person who stirs up division, we need to seek friends who are forgiving and committed to reconciliation and peacemaking. You know, differences of opinion may occur from time to time, but friends united in the Spirit will seek to quickly work things out, to grow together in grace and unity. Folks, life is tough. Life is tough. Challenges come our way, whether we want them or not. The Christian walk is a particularly challenging one. It's like walking or running in a marathon. It really is. So with God's help and with God's grace, we will need to be, and we will need to be surrounded by friends who are humble and self-sacrificing, honest, merciful and compassionate, giving life, saving life, making life better, exercising integrity and goodness, trustworthy, forgiving, and committed to reconciliation and peacemaking. This is God's wisdom. This is God's wisdom from his word. And this will help us to grow wise and avoid coming to needless harm. So just as I finish, let me suggest just a couple of practical things that can help us to walk with the wise and become wise. And as I said, many of us will already have well-established, flourishing, and positive friendships that we've built up over the years. But perhaps we need to just check and see if any of our friendships are influencing us negatively, pulling us down or drawing us away from God or his church. We need to check for that, be aware of that, and take whatever action is necessary. Then as we seek to develop wise and godly friendship, there are a couple of things that might help. I remember when I first started on my journey into ministry, someone suggested that I might get a mentor, a person that I would want to become a clone of, but someone who I could recognize as an experienced and godly man who had already walked this road and could teach me a thing or two and encourage me along the way. And I did that, and so over the years I've been meeting up periodically with a couple of different older retired minister friends. Guys who just share their experience and their wisdom with me as we walk together. And you know, I found this to be just so very helpful. Perhaps you could identify someone who you could ask to be your mentor, to share their experience and their wisdom with you in the Christian life. The other thing is making time for regular catch-ups with a small group of trustworthy friends, if you're not already, just two or three perhaps, or even just a one to one, coming together for a coffee and getting a bit deeper in conversation than just the weather. Sharing the more important things in life and giving one another permission to hold each other accountable in your walk with the Lord. And also let me encourage you to belong to one of our home groups here at Orangefield. If you're not already a member, then let me encourage you to have a look at home groups. We meet at different times of the week, in the mornings and afternoons, evenings, throughout the week. And in a home group, you will make friends with the sort of people that Paul talks about here in Corinthians. You will make friends with the sort of people that the book of Proverbs encourages us to make friends with. You will find good walking partners, good running mates, people who love and serve one another along the way. If you'd like to try one of our home groups or know more about them, please be in touch with us in the office and we'll help you to do that. And of course, coming along to church every Sunday to worship as we meet with God and as we have fellowship together, one with the other. And we pray that in all these ways, together, we will become wiser, and get to know and walk ever more closely with the greatest friend of all, the Lord Jesus. Shall we pray together for a moment? Let us pray. And let's take a moment in the silence and in God's presence. He is speaking to us from his word and he's moving amongst us by his spirit. And he's been laying something on your heart. Let's take a moment in the silence and in his presence to respond to whatever it is he's saying to you that you need to do or that you need to stop doing. Let's respond in the silence to that for a moment. And you know, in all of this, we really are talking about growing closer to one another, but ultimately closer to the greatest friend that we can ever have, the Lord Jesus. And perhaps today you're sitting at a distance from him. Perhaps today is the day when you can let him be your friend. We need a friend like Jesus, and there is no other like him. We need Jesus as our friend as we walk the marathon of life. So let me encourage you, if you're not already calling him friend, to call him friend today. Receive his strength, his comfort, his joy, his peace, his guidance, his wisdom, his blessing as you walk with him in the days ahead. And Father, we thank you for your wisdom, for our lives revealed to us in these verses of your word that we have looked at here today. Please help us to be encouraged by the promise that he who walks with the wise will grow wise, but also to heed the warning that a companion of fools will suffer harm. Help us to show your love to all people, to be good friends. But grant us wisdom too in choosing those friends whom we will walk closely with in the journey of life. And as we walk together as your people in this place, may we ever grow in wisdom and service so that you would be glorified in all that we say and do. And so that we and the world around us would grow closer to your Son, in the knowledge and love of Jesus, the greatest friend that any of us can ever have. For it is for your glory, in the power of your Spirit, and in Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Amen.